Bibles, let's go to Romans chapter 1, 1 through 11. I want to begin a 2 or 3 week mini series on the doctrine of justification, what it means to be right with God. And what we see in our text, we're just going to look at verse 1 today. But what we see in our text are the benefits of being right with God, or the blessings or the results of being right with God. And there's two doctrines that are very dear to my heart as a pastor, and that's the doctrine of salvation, but in particular, the doctrine of justification, being right with God, and also prophecy, and we just happen to be preaching on both of them, morning and evening. But we'll begin tonight for the next 2 or 3 weeks. We're going to take our time. I want you to make sure we understand this, and the benefits of being right with God or being justified. Notice verse 1. Let's go ahead and stand. I want to get you to stand again. Lord told me you need a little exercise. Everybody stand but Brother Frank, okay? Because we don't want him to have problems. Verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, you see that also, and not only so, he's telling us benefits. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience or endurance, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love. There's one of those but gods. Oh, man, I love those. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Being justified by his blood, we shall also be saved from wrath through him. For if we were enemies... We were reconciled to God by the death of his son. In other words, let me say this right here. You did not reconcile yourself to God. God reconciled himself to you. He made a way that you could be changed, okay? And son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Father, I pray as we look at this great doctrine that we'll understand what it means to be right with you, and what a difference that makes in our belief and our behavior, because we are justified, we are declared righteous by faith in Jesus Christ. Salvation is not by works, we work because we're saved. Salvation is only by grace through faith in Christ alone. That's what separates Christianity from all the world religions that are in this world today. We do not believe in a works righteousness. We believe in a grace righteousness. And we thank you for that. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. The Puritans, if you ever heard of the Puritans, they said you have to do the sin work before you can do the grace work. In other words, you have to get people to understand that they're lost and undone and sinners and on the way to hell before they can experience the grace of God. And we as believers, verse 2, have access through faith to the grace of God, and we'll pick up there next week. But we are saved by grace. You have to do the sin work before you do the grace work. And so Paul here, having established the condemnation of all men in chapters 1, 2, 3, why we need to be saved, we're dead, he now establishes the doctrine of justification, being right with God. He tells us 1 through 3 why we need to be saved. Chapter 4 and 5, he tells us how we're saved. Okay? It's totally by grace through faith. And having established all that, it would seem to me that Paul is answering a question here to his Roman readers. And Paul wanted them to know that we can be sure that our justification will last. You see, if you've been justified by God, you can't be unjustified. Give me an amen. Amen. Because it's a legal act by God, not by you. Amen. And I wish we could understand that today. I wish we could understand that. It's a legal act by God which he declares you righteous because of your faith in his son. So why is chapter 5, 1 through 11 in the Bible? Well, I believe Paul wanted to accomplish two things. Number one, our justification is not simply a guarantee of heaven, but it is also the source of tremendous blessing as we enjoy our walk and our time here in sanctification. We are blessed today because we are right with God. Amen? Somebody give an amen. And secondly, I believe that Paul places this chapter 5, 1 through 11 in the Bible to assure his readers that justification is a lasting thing. It's a legal act by God. It's something God does for us. Paul counters the view that salvation is received by faith and preserved by good works. There's a lot of people who believe that today. Oh yes, Pastor Ken, I believe I'm saved by grace, but I'm kept by works. No, you work because you're saved. Amen? Amen. You don't work to keep saved. That's no better than believing in works salvation to get saved, right? So you're saved by grace through faith in Christ, and you're preserved by good works. Many people believe. If our salvation is dependent on our faithfulness, there is no security at all. Are you with me? Brother Ray said something like that in Sunday school this morning. I'm not always faithful. I'm not always walking with the Lord as I should. If my justification being right with God is based on my day-by-day walk, folks, I have no hope of heaven, right? And neither do y'all. Now, some believe, again, that we're kept by human power by what God began with the divine work. And that's not so. Remember in Galatians, Paul says, they were being fooled by the Judaizers, saying you had to be circumcised to become a Jew before you could be a Christian. And he said, no, not so. Who has bewitched you? Are you now going to perfect in the flesh what God has begun in the spirit? And there are a lot of people struggling with that same thing today. They're trying to perfect in the flesh by what God has begun in the spirit. I was looking at Wanda when I was saying that. She was feeling so sorry for me. She wanted to just say it for me, you know. Folks, today and the next week, we're going to learn what God did by declaring us righteous in Jesus Christ. He gave us spiritual blessings that assure that we cannot ever be lost if we're saved. And your transformed life will give evidence of that. Don't get the idea of your pastor saying today, just because you walk an aisle, you're saved. There's going to be regeneration. There's going to be change. There's going to be fruit. There's going to be evidence. What are these six that we're going to look at? Today we're going to look at peace with God. We have peace with God. Then standing in God's grace, hope in glory, possession of divine love, deliverance from wrath, and joy in God. Now let's look at the first one this morning in verse 1. Notice what it says. The believer has peace with God. Before we came to him by faith, we did not have peace with God. And you cannot have the peace of God until you have the peace with God. Notice verse 1. Therefore, why? Because in chapter 4, he's talking about we being justified by faith, and faith alone. So then, therefore, he says, and he goes on to talk about the benefits we have because we're justified. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, a lot of people today are looking for peace, but you cannot find it outside of Christ. Amen? Therefore, connects Paul to his present argument in chapter 3 and 4 and what he's taught about how a person is saved. Because our justification is by faith, notice that we have. Therefore, being justified by faith, notice that we have. That's the present possession in the Greek, indicates something that we already possess. And many blessings await us at the resurrection and glorification. I can't wait till I go to heaven, whether by death or rapture. And when I take on my glorified body at the rapture, if I were to die before Christ, it would be at the resurrection. I get my glorified body, and boy, it's going to be a howdy-goody time, you know. When we get to heaven, we're in our glorified body, the resurrected body like the resurrected Lord. No more tests. No more worries with any doctors or hospitals. Amen? We're going to be in our glorified bodies. And that's great. But right now, we can live in victory now, right? Because we have been justified by faith. We have. peace with God is instantaneous. But the peace of God is in our sanctification and our daily walk with God. Remember, peace of God has to do with our position and our standing. The sanctification and growing more like Christ has to do with our fellowship. My fellowship. Now, I'm right with God, but I don't always live like I'm right with God. Right? Y'all follow me? Because we're still in these bodies, in this unredeemed flesh. We are right with God, but we don't always walk right. Apart from salvation through Jesus Christ, every human being is at an enmity with God. The Bible teaches that. And you got to get lost people to see that they are hostile toward God. God is enmity with them as well. God is hostile toward them. You don't believe me? I'll share you a verse in just a moment here. The mind of every unsaved person is at peace only with the things of the flesh and not the things of God. Therefore, they're hostile to God. This is the exclusivity of the gospel. Only those that come to him by faith, repentance and faith, can have peace with God. Jesus, in this text here, speaks of his earthly name. It speaks of his mission and becoming a man. Christ speaks of him as the Messiah, the Anointed One. So unbelievers are enemies of God, but God is also the enemy of unbelievers. The enmity cannot end unless the sinner places his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The sign that you see going down 19, God's not mad with you, that is a lie. If you are not saved, you're under the wrath of God. Amen? The Bible says in Psalm 7:11, God judges the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. Ephesians 5:6 says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So on the cross, Christ took the sin, Father's wrath intended for the sinner, and those who trust in him are no longer enemies of God, but we have peace with God. I like what Hebrews 7:25 says, one of my favorite verses. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Christ. He's going to save us to the uttermost. That doesn't mean he's going to save people in China or Russia or America. Not the uttermost parts of the world, but the uttermost, meaning to the very end. He's going to keep us, right? Why? Because seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Christ is alive. That's why he's able to save us to the uttermost. Christ is alive. That's why he's making intercession for us continually before the throne of God at the mercy seat right now in heaven. And because he's making intercession for us, because he's still living, he can save us to the uttermost. Right? The Bible says in Hebrews 8:12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Folks, whatever sins you committed before you got saved, they're gone, buddy or lady, right? By the way, I wish all my friends were named Jack or Buddy. That way I could remember their name, right? Hey, buddy. Hey, Jack, right? I have so much problem with names. And I'll remember it when I get in the car, you know, finally 30 minutes later. But he remembers our iniquities no more. So why do we remember them? Why do we let them hold us in bondage, right? Now, the sins we commit after we say, we got to confess those for fellowship and for usefulness and rewards and all and testimony and all that. But the sins we committed before we got saved, they are under the blood. Amen? In fact, what sends us to hell is a sin of unbelief. I had a discussion with one of the students at the little Bible college I teach on whatever night it was, Thursday, I believe. And he agreed. Some people teach legalism that you got to confess every sin you've ever committed in order to get saved. Folks, you cannot do that, right? When you come to faith and he died for your sins, he died for all of them. Amen? And you are imputed, you are declared righteous before God. One more verse, then we're going to close a little early. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. In Christ, he is complete deity. All the person of God is in him. In verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, it's at the cross where this peace was made, where he died for us, right? And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or in things in heaven, and you that were sometime or pastime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. You were sometime, you were in time past, but not no more. He has reconciled you to God through the Son, Jesus Christ. You have been reconciled. You have been changed. Verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Notice that. In the body of his flesh through death, to present you. When is that going to happen? That's going to happen when we get to heaven. Right now, we're not totally, we're positionally holy and we're right with God, but we're not completely holy. We're not completely unblameable. And if you try to live that, you try to say, I'm not going to be approved by God or accepted by God until I'm 100% holy, 100% unblameable, folks, you're barking up the wrong doctrinal tree. It's not going to happen because we are that in Christ. So what is this talking about? In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy. To present you. What? When is that going to happen? We are the Father's love gift to the Son, John 17. And one day when we get to heaven, the Son's going to turn around and give us back to the Father and present us holy and blameless, right? You got to know how to interpret Scripture, right? And to present you. You know, this presentation is later. But right now we are right with God. Doesn't this bless your hearts, church, to know that we're right with God? Maybe you're here today and you're an unbeliever. You never come by the access that's been made available through faith in Christ. You don't have peace with God. You're under the wrath of God. Paul says you're perishing. You're on your way to an eternal hell without Christ. You have to come to him by repentance of sin and faith through the access, chapter, verse 2, that's been provided so that you can experience his grace. Amen? So you're not right with God if you don't come to him by faith. And the wrath of God abides upon you. And God will not overlook your sin. He will not overlook your unbelief. He will not overlook that. He will not wink at sin. One day he's going to reconcile the whole world to himself. I like that part of it, right? All that's in this world is going to be reconciled to Christ, and he's going to upset their apple cart. They think that we Christians give them a hard time right now. Listen, when the Lion, the tribe of Judah comes, he's going to really give them a hard time, right? But I'm asking today, have you been changed? Have you been redeemed? Have you confessed Christ as Lord and Savior? If not, you're standing in, even though you're sitting in the church, you're under the wrath of God. And you're going to go to an eternal hell. That ought to make us sad, hadn't it? That ought to make us want to witness, right? That ought to make us appreciate what we have being right with God. It's one of my favorite doctrines. In a few weeks, and we get through with angels, I'm going to begin a study on the doctrine of salvation, understanding our salvation. And justification is one of those. Because, folks, I tell you, upon the authority of what I see and hear and where I go and who I talk to, people are not being taught theology in their churches in many cases. They do it at First Newark, but there's other places. It's some little hogwash, how to feed your dog without getting bit, you know? It's a bunch of hogwash, a bunch of fluff. Listen, we cannot behave right till we believe right, right? And we are right with God. I'll give you an opportunity this morning. Say, come. Say, Pastor, I want to be saved. I'm not right with God. I'm going to hell. I'm going to spend eternity in hell. And I don't want to do that. I want to come to Jesus. Father, As our musicians come this morning, I pray this morning that you do the work of redemption, conviction, and conversion in the heart of the unbeliever. I pray today for believers that they will fully appreciate what it means to be right with God. It's not joining a church. It's not joining an institution. It's not being baptized. Those are important. We're not joining the Elks Club. We're just not coming here. It's the people in this church didn't save us. Only one did, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And to be right with the Father, we got to come through the Son in repentance and faith. I pray that message will worm its way into every heart today and will continue to worm in that heart until you bring Holy Ghost conviction and repentance. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right.